Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Again, my name is Ryan Gibson. I'm originally from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I was here the first and second time Jeremy was hired on. He is correct. There may be a lot of layers to me, but at the core, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And you don't have to spend too much time with me very long to know eventually his name or his attributes are going to come up. Whether I'm sitting in an interview with you, whether we're hanging out, eventually something is going to come up about what God's doing, what he's doing in my life, what he can do in your life. It's going to eventually come up, and it's not going to take very long. First, I want to pray for that poor couple that had their toddler taken from them in Florida. As the father of a three-year-old, I could not imagine of all the ways to lose a loved one of such a young age to go that way. So, Father, I pray for that couple. I pray for Florida. It seems like Florida themselves are under attack from what happened last weekend at the nightclub to what's going on and that poor young Father, we pray for that family and all the families affected by all the tragedies that are taking place in Florida. Father, we just pray for Florida, an area that has been known for revivals to come out of Florida. And so, Father, I thank you for that you are going to send restitution of everything that the enemy has stolen from Florida. I thank you for peace, joy, and another breakout of your spirit to hit that place. In Jesus' name we pray. So what happened and how I got up here in front of you guys today, I happened to swing by here on Friday to use the restroom. And I walked in to see who's in the office. Pastor's in the office. He hands me this book and says, "Hey, you mind speaking Wednesday?" By the way, it's chapter 2. Never read this book in my life. So note to yourself, don't come by here unannounced unless you want to be up here sooner than later. Just a word to the wise. But he asked me to speak on moving from an area of clutter and chaos to an area of progression, an area of going from overwhelmed to scheduled. All right. I don't know about you guys, but as I was reading this book, and the book is called Simplify by Bill Hybels, and I read it, and when I started reading it, I was like, oh, wow, how can I apply this to my life? And one of the main things that I could see for me, and some of you are already in this spot, I don't want to be an effect in my family when I retire. I want to have the most impact on my kids while they are young so that I can teach them how to properly live their life before I have been so busy till I have found a place where I feel like I'm liberated to be me. I don't want that to be me. And the book was saying if you're there, it's not too late to go ahead and schedule, because a lot of times we will schedule ourselves for who we are. I got this over here, I've got work over here, I've got a baseball game to here. So what you do is you sit down and you grab out your calendar, you grab out whatever it is you use to make a schedule, and immediately you start plugging in who you are and what things have your attention. But this book talks about what if God had control of your schedule? And what if you said, you know what, instead of who I am and scheduling my life for who I am, I'm going to schedule my life for who I want to be. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better Christ follower. I want to lose 30 pounds. So what you do is he was saying in the basics of a nutshell is I'm going to put in, okay, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to spend time with God. And then Thursday night, I'm going to have a date night with my wife. And then in June, we're going to go on a week's-long vacation to so-and-so. And then I'm going to get up After I get done with my prayer time, I'm going to go ahead and go outside for a quick 20, 30-minute run. And then in that evening, at 4 o'clock, I'm going to go work out. So now I have now made my schedule for who I want to be as opposed to who I am. And then nothing interrupts those times. Now I pull out everything else that's supposed to have my attention. And then there's the baseball games. And then there's your normal work week that you go in and you've committed and you've made that commitment to your employer. So when I started looking at this, it became very clear to me that I have some corrections that I need to make. So anything that I'm telling you guys today, I ain't got this all together. So I'm preaching to myself. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for everything that you're doing. That you have specifically positioned us here, Father, for a reason and a purpose and a cause. And Holy Spirit, I want to say, we as your temple, we say we are sorry. There are elements in our life, there are elements in our temple that we have shut the door to, and we're not allowing you to go into that room. We are not allowing you to go in there and effectively make a difference in our life so we can be an effective difference for your kingdom. And so, Holy Spirit, we say we're sorry. But we ask that you have your way in our life, that you have full, complete, and total control, the master key to every locked door in our life, that there's nothing between me and you. Because, Father, everything is for your glory. It's for your progress. It's for the people that don't know you. It's for the burdened ones. And we don't want to be a stumbling block. But, Father, make us, Holy Spirit, make us that stepping stone that can lead somebody to you. That is the reason we are alive, is to first be in a relationship that's so strong with you that we hear you in the small things. And secondly, it is to draw people unto you. So Holy Spirit, we say, have your way tonight because you're worthy of all praise and all glory. There is something he was talking about. Some people have trouble. If you hear them like on Sundays, man, I almost didn't make it to church today, man. I just basically flipped a coin, heads I'm going, tails I'm not. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so exhausted by life. You know what's so crazy? Is one of the things I try to look as a way for me to not deal with that kind of nonsense is you never know in God's sovereignty when he's going to choose to pour revival out in a moment. That if it can happen in Wells with 8 people in a prayer room on a nighttime, and they just come together because they just want to talk about God, do a Bible study. And then that's when him and his sovereignty choose to pour, he pours himself out. You never know what time he's going to do that. You can try everything you want to muster up revival. You can call in anybody you want to try to muster up a revival. You can put it on the sign out front with all of our nifty colors. But there's nothing you can do to force a revival. You can simply do what the Bible calls for. You come together, you pray, you repent, and you continue to pray. And then one time, you never know when, God will pour out revival on that area. And the thing is, we think we have this preconceived notion of what revival looks like. I know I do. I have this preconceived idea of what I've seen on a YouTube video, or what I've heard from others, like everything is going crazy. People are swinging from their chandeliers. Billy's done 2 cartwheels and a backflip. And that's my goal. If I can get Billy to 2 cartwheels today, man, I know I've done a great job. But you just never know. Because every revival has a purpose, and every revival has a reason for coming. First, there's an element of prayer, and then the repentance, and then there's an incalling for salvation. And then he has a specific reason on why he touches that area. And so I just never know when that's going to happen, which is one of the reasons I try to show up to church as much as I can. Because I never know when it's going to happen, and I want to be there for the whole thing. And I don't want to just be some spectator. So it's not hard for me to really write in on my schedule, church Wednesday, church Sunday. That's not hard for me to do. We're going to have a prayer service on Friday. Friday night, I'm going to be at a prayer service. Because my life is for him. So I know there's areas I'm jacking it up in. I know for a fact there is. But I never know when he's going to choose in his sovereignty to pour himself out, and I want to be there when it happens. He talks about Habakkuk 2:2. Some of you could probably quote that better than I can. But it says, write the vision down and make it plain. And what Bill Hybels says, he says he would literally go on his calendar and write down his schedule. So to me, I took it as I'm writing the vision for who I want to be in my life so that I don't allow life to run away from me in chaos. So, okay, here's what I'm going to do. 6:30, I'm setting my alarm. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to spend time in prayer. He talks about try 15-minute blocks. Just simply say, for 15 minutes, I'm going to get up and read the Word. And then I'm going to sit down and pray. And I'm going to ask myself some questions. And he's got some very good questions on what he said that he used for his quiet time. So I'm going to read a quick excerpt from what he said. It says, I climb out of bed and get directly on my knees for prayer. If I don't do this, I'm too apt to become distracted with doing and never return to prayer. After I pray, I spend time in a favorite chair or an unhurried setting of my home or my office, or I'm open to God's word and invite his wisdom into my soul. I write in my journal and I ask myself the hard questions about my actions, my words, my relationships, and my character. What is sin's pattern? Or what sin pattern is God illuminating in me that warrants confession and exchange? I don't know about you. Unfortunately, I can't remember the last time I've asked myself that question. And it's about time I probably asked myself that question. What sin pattern is God illuminating in me that warrants confession and a change? And of course, this is a Wednesday night crowd. I don't think I have to explain to you that sin can be different, a little bit different to everybody. There's certain areas that God draws a line for certain people. That's why he says, walk your salvation out. There are definites, but then there's areas of conviction that, you know, there was one where a guy, I'd heard this minister, God said, I want you to stop drinking Dr. Pepper. So for that minister, if he drank Dr. Pepper, there's a level of conviction I would hope he would have. But he doesn't have the right to tell Tommy to stop drinking Dr. Pepper. Does that make sense? So there's areas in my life that if I want to grow in God, I need to ask, Lord, what is there in my life that is taking away from my progression in you? And so next he says, where is God inviting me to grow? What opportunities does he want me to say yes to? What is he telling me to take a pass? Where is he praising me for a job well done? And then he talks about, is your current schedule working for you? Bill Hybels talks about he's the pastor of Willow Creek Church, very big church. He was talking about a time that he was getting ready to leave, and he hugs his wife, and he gets down and hugs his daughter, and his daughter says, Daddy, are you leaving again? And he drives off to do the Lord's work. And in his drive, it hit him. She just misses me. And he said, Lord, what is it that I need to do? And he said the Lord told him to do something very simple. Open his schedule, block it out. He said, for you, 4 days a week, I want you to write home. And on every evening, 4 days a week, he wrote home. He had elders meetings, building meetings, all kinds of, because he's involved globally in a lot of things that are going on. So he said with trembling hands, he wrote home. And then realized after growing up that his schedule and the way he was living was creating a generational pattern for the way his kids and his kids' kids would live. So who's going to benefit and who's going to suffer from your schedule? It's going to be the people that are looking up to you. That when you say, you know what, God's really important, but I can't tell them till after I'm retired because the whole time we've just gone to church on Sunday mornings and they've never seen me do something with them. So if I was somebody who looked up to somebody who was my dad and said, God's more important than you as a son, that's going to hurt to hear as a son, even though it's true. But it's going to show even more so if I'm not there. If daddy's not there, I don't want anything to do with God if it's going to keep me away from my kids. So there could be a bounce back in your family because they don't want to go after something that's going to keep them away from their family. But he found a way by writing it on his schedule to be able to go after them and bring his family along. And now he sees his kids with his grandkids sitting at the table, spilling milk, having fun, chit-chatting back and forth, realizing that his family modeled themselves after his leading. So it's just, you know, how does somebody figure out how to pray? When daddy takes them in the prayer closet with them, or mom, he takes them in the prayer closet with them. That's just like Pastor Michael said on Sunday, that older ladies have to teach younger ladies. Just like older men have to teach younger men how to be men or how to be ladies. And so he was talking about something is so simple that he never even thought of that he put who he wants to be in his calendar, literally took out his calendar and put it in home. And it revolutionized his life. Because he was talking about removing all this overwhelming exhaustion about who he is and then moving that to who he wants to be. Lisa, would you mind doing that first video for me?
I view my life right now is that I'm living in 15-minute increments. And if I get through this 15, and then it's the next 15, and it's the next 15. And that's not a healthy way to live, and it's not a great way to live, and it's not really even a good way to live. However, it's the only way right now to kind of survive. With my husband traveling every single week for work, and I'm working full-time, which includes nights and weekends, and three kids who are not babies anymore, who don't just go to bed at 6:37. We wait for all the schedules come out for a competition for our kids and classes. And I start to see what is that going to look like? Where are the holes? Who's going to have to help? What babysitter am I going to need? How am I going to be able to create something that is manageable for everybody? So really their lives kind of dictate kind of what I'm doing. And then when I see that, I say, okay, well, these are nights that I can't do coverage at work. And then I have to look at my husband's schedule. You know, he's traveling. He's an elder at our church, and that has its own responsibilities. And so I have to look at his schedule, and I have to see when is he in meetings, when does he need space, when is he doing things that he needs to do for his serving. And all of that creates a picture that usually says, this is how we're going to survive. It's really, really hard because I want to do it, and I want to do it perfectly. But what happens is, you know, after the seventh drop off and pick up and they're still not in bed and everyone needs a shower and they're eating and you look at the clock and it's 9:53 and you're just still doing it and doing it every bedtime, every prayer, every lunch, every dinner, every everything. It's completely exhausting. But I didn't want to admit to myself that it's something that felt stressful. And I think the tension really for me in my life is that I enjoy doing it. I enjoy being packed. I think the busyness of our lives is really hard on our girls. Brian is in a different state Sunday night to Wednesday night or Thursday, and the girls will say stuff like, oh, I wish daddy was back, or oh, it's time for you to go. You know, it's hard on them. There's not a lot of downtime. I covet it, I want it, but other than that, right now, there's not a whole lot of margin to do anything and hope that the next season will be better. God has revealed kind of my weakness and my need for control. And control in achieving and busyness and all that. My daughter, it's just been revealed that she has very severe ADHD and panic and anxiety. And that whole world has been very suffocating and it's very out of control. It feels like God has used this child to really say, you're not in control and you have to slow it down because you can't keep taking more on and more on and more on and more on. And the trigger at this point is really seeing the effect on all this on a child who really needs a lot of routine. She really needs the noise quieted in her life. And me seeing that through her, like, okay, you know, I can't do every single little tiny little thing. I need to ask for more help. I think that I would have kept going and going and building and achieving and doing, but really it took a sick child for God to get my attention to slow it down.
Kind of sad that that's what it took for her. And, you know, it's so crazy that we look back and it's like you're busy with work, you're busy with sports, you're busy with trying to make it through the day. So at the end of the day, your prayer is, God, give me strength to make it through another day. And the whole time, I didn't hear one time that she said, I got up for prayer. She didn't mention one time in all of her exhaustive schedule to get up for prayer. There's, Jeremy, you might remember who it is. I don't remember, but there was one minister that says, I'm too busy not to pray. And he's doing the work of the Lord and moving along, and he's too busy not to pray. There was an elder in their church and gone so long. And it's, you know, they had a nice car. They had a nice house. It looked like they had a lot of nice stuff. But really, is that what you want to look back and say, you know, God, I'm sure glad I had an awesome house. You know, they always would say, you hear people on their deathbed, it's never, I sure wish I worked more. I sure wish I worked harder. I sure wish I got more stuff. Usually, if there's anything that says, what would you do different? I would spend more time with my family. And the premise of this book is to schedule yourself on who you want to be. Schedule yourself on, I want to be a better Christ follower, a better husband, a better father to my kids. So I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write that vision down and make it plain, so that the chaos of life doesn't have a chance to intervene and mess it up. And it talks about, for me, I'm like, sometimes like David, I'd rather rise. I'm a morning person, so for me, it's easier for me to get up in the morning and to start my prayer. I'm going to rise early and seek you. Some are night owls. You know, like Dutch Sheet's a night owl. He's better off getting in his prayer closet probably at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm not that way. I'm like a young old grandpa. I'd rather go to bed at a decent time, sleep good. And I remember me and my wife were dating. We would all like be playing cards. It'd be like 9:30, and we're all playing cards. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. And I would leave, and I'd leave three or four of them out there playing cards all by themselves. And it's like a, you know, a 2-on-2 game. I'd be like, well, I gotta get ready. I gotta work in the morning. I gotta get up early and pray. And I'm out. And so they'd always call me Papaw. At 25, 26 years old, whatever it was. It's sad that when you're drained and you're exhausted, you're just basically wanting to survive. And so when do you make your best decisions? Is it when you're at the end of your bucket and you're exhausted with life? Are you going to make your best decisions on how to get back to this state? The answer is no. But when you're at this state and you're full of God, and you're full of joy, and you're full of peace, and people ask you, how do you feel? I feel great. And you get decisions, and things come your way, and you're making the right decisions. You're like, how can I keep this going? You're going to continue to make all the right choices at this level because you filled yourself up. So you can't wait till you're here at the bottom to try to figure out how you're going to get back here. You got to start, and what Bill Hybels is saying, sometimes you got to start right in the middle to figure out what are the areas of my life that are going to refuel me and what areas are draining me and what do I need to do about it. He has what he's called a chair time. And it's a place in his house that he literally is uninterrupted. That's where he spends his time with God. And that's where he would kind of break off to. He'd get up early in the morning, like I said. He'd go to that chair, and that's where he's going to make. That's how he starts his day. And for him, he has the luxury of an open schedule as a pastor. He don't go into work till 11 o'clock in the day sometimes. He'll work till evening now that his kids are grown. But he may not go into 11 o'clock, but he's done. He gets up at 5:30 and spends time with God and in the Word and does a lot of stuff for the Lord before he even walks into the office. And so he was saying there's areas that you're going to have to play with that schedule. You're going to have to tweak it. You're going to find what works for you. But the main goal is don't be afraid to fail at it. Find what works for you because it's going to work for the legacy that you're setting up for your children and your children's children. Let me see here. I don't have a lot. I didn't want to bore you guys with a lot of detail. There's people that you can find in the Bible that have a schedule of prayer. Daniel was one of them. Three times a day. That's what worked for Daniel. We all know his story. He kept going, no matter what's going. The circumstances around him changed. The government around him changed. He keeps going. He goes, gets thrown into a lion's den, continues to keep his schedule of prayer. And in the midst of every crazy, flipping circumstance, he keeps his focus of God, on God, and God continues to raise him up. So I guess the point in that is, just like Joseph, he gets knocked down, but he stays focused on God. He keeps up with prayer, and God raises him up in the middle of slavery, raises him up in the middle of being in a jail cell, raises him up in Potiphar's house, raises him up all the way to where he's second in command below Pharaoh. There is reward in seeking and putting God first. There is reward in it, and it wasn't just for him. That reward ended up being for the very people that sold him into slavery, his own family. So when you think about it, what you do, what you say, and how you conduct your life in seeking after the Lord isn't just an effect upon you, but is an effect upon how others see you under attack and how they will respond in their prayer time. And then you have that opportunity to change somebody to can live a more fulfilled life. There was one person in this book he talked about. He was resistant to going to church, and the only time he would go is when his wife took him. He was a businessman, never even had the concept of being at home with his family because his dad wasn't at home with his family. So he worked and 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 he worked. And finally, he started kind of asking questions about the Lord, and his wife kept praying, kept coming to church. And he eventually talks to Pastor Hibble. And Pastor Hibble goes, "You keep a schedule?" "Yeah, I keep a schedule. Of course I keep a schedule." He goes, "Well, get it out, and I want you to write this class. If you give me 10 Tuesday nights, I promise you, you have all the answers about God you want." Boom. Give us several growth sessions we have here at church, and you'll find out. If you have questions about God, you're going to find out some elements about God and how to get plugged in. Anyways, long story short, the guy, it finally clicked, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he put God first, all because he wrote it down on his schedule. And he referred back to that to the day 2 years later when he had committed his full life to God. It was baptized in that church by Pastor Hibble. And unfortunately, cancer took his life 2 years after that. But on his deathbed, he looked at Pastor Hibble and said, "At least I got the last 2 years right." So it's never too late to start. And so it's that simple. If I could leave you with something as simple as that, put God on your schedule. Write him in. Write that vision down and make it plain. I'm going to leave you with one more video before we close tonight. So, Lisa, if you could play that. I just want to show you in a three-minute clip how powerful a prayer can be, and that's not 15, 30 minutes in prayer. 3 minutes.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
That fires me up right there, boy. I'm telling you. I'm just waiting for the day that we ain't hindered by an hour, boy. Just get in there and rip it up and let it go. I'm telling you, there's an enemy out there that's after our family, that's after our kids, that's after how we can affect the unbeliever. Anything the devil can do to set his kingdom up in somebody else's heart so that they have to fall just like him. And it's up to us to keep our focus on Jesus and on what is right, what the purpose is, that we can change somebody else's life. For the God's sake, the Lamb can get the reward of his suffering. So, Father, I thank you for everything that you're doing. Your worthy Holy Spirit, I ask you, seal the word in their hearts. And that we go forward and we put you on our schedule. We write down who we want to be in you, who you have called us to be. We write that down and make that vision plan. We run with it, that we can create a legacy, we can create a dream, and we can create a plumb line for how families should be together, how they should go after you as a family, how men should be men, how women should be women. But Father, above all, that people can come unto the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way tomorrow. Have your way Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Have your way in our life. Have your way in this town and in this church and in this city. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says,
we pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.